Twice a week, Van Lathan and Rachel Lindsay dissect the biggest topics in Black culture, politics, and sports on their show, Higher Learning. They discuss the most important and timely conversations while also frequently inviting guests on the podcast and occasionally debating each other. Check out Higher Learning on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
Thank you.
I promise you, it's just iced tea.
Thank you.
Don't
so
worry,
much.
I'm not going to bring you in an RV, give you alcohol, and try to show you the bedroom.
Cheers.
To Katie.
An RV. It was definitely lived in.
I'm happy to finally meet you.
Oh my gosh, it's been such a long 2 weeks of waiting to see you guys. At one point while we're talking, he starts to eat celery.
Oh, hold on a second there, Katie.
Let me
move all this over.
Oh my gosh.
Trust me, this is the cleanest you'll ever see it.
Okay. He's throwing his dirty boxers. And unfortunately, I just wasn't feeling the vibes with the RV.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Welcome to Bachelor Party, Katie season. It's here, you know, we've known it's coming. I wasn't really ready. And then I watched the finale and I was like, cool, I like The Bachelorette. Let's do it. And to discuss tonight's premiere, I'm joined by my colleague, Nora Princiati. Hi, Nora. Welcome.
Hi, Juliet. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be on the premiere episode.
You know, I just felt like I just knew you'd bring the takes. And I just felt like, I don't know, I just felt right. I just felt like I needed to have Nora on. So we are going to talk about this episode. We'll get into all of it. Just first impressions. What'd you think? What'd you think of Katie?
So, okay. I'm going to give you my impression. Then I have a question for you.
Wonderful.
I have said frequently on this show, on Bachelor Party, that the show in question, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, seems to be just hornier by the second. And my first impression is that, boy, is that not going away. And obviously, Katie was sort of famous instantly for coming onto the show with the sex toy. And I think usually they start out and they kind of try to add some nuance and build a character. And okay. I didn't necessarily feel that with Katie's introduction.
I'm glad you brought this up. First of all, we will come back to all the sexual puns later. I'm just going to ask you for your favorite and whose sexual energy that was like so... It's not even like overt or obvious. It was just sort of like talk. It wasn't even sexual energy. It was like talking about sex. It was strange. But I'm glad you brought this up because we'll talk about the lack of Chris Harrison in a second. But the biggest difference between this premiere and so many other premieres is they showed like no footage or B-roll from Katie's time on The Bachelor. And there was no references to Matt. There was no discussion of like heartbreak. It was sort of like she came out of the wilderness just like Matt did. And I thought that was super weird. I was like, the only backstory is that she's sex positive, but if you hadn't watched Matt season, which I assume most people have, but you wouldn't know that like her thing was she came out with the vibrator and you wouldn't understand why she was so into all of these weird gimmicks that people were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think my impression was that most of that has to do with just that there was a lot of drama surrounding last season and they kind of wanted to make this like a clean slate, except a clean slate with a lot of sex puns. But my question was, where do you feel like Bachelor Nation is on Katie going into this? Because my Bachelor consumption habits, I don't look at spoilers at all. And I pretty much just watch the show with my friends as much as possible and then catch up if I can't watch it with my friends in a given week. Right. And so my experience with Katie is just when she was on the show. I really liked her.
Yeah, she was great. People liked her.
My sense is that people have soured on her a little bit. Is that accurate?
I think that is accurate. I think I'm part of this problem, though. I'm not sure I'm part of the solution. I think I've said several times, I don't think the other women in the house like her. And I don't think they did. I don't think they did. Like, when Brie was on the pod, it seemed like she wasn't that into Katie.
Okay, but so isn't that because Katie, frankly...
Stitches get stitches?
Yeah. But she was also the only person who really clearly stood up against all the bullying that was going on in that house. And yes, like, I think people make mistakes. It's also a very difficult environment in which to be your best self. And I don't think that those women are like bad people who we shouldn't like.
Sure.
It just was an unusually catty season. And if I were one of the other contestants, I probably would resent the one person who came out of that looking like, you know what? Katie stood up for being a good person. That said, that's coming from a place of like pettiness and wishing that I'd comported myself better, right? Like, I think there's a little bit of, it doesn't surprise me that Katie ended up not being like welcomed into the group from that house post show, right? Because she did kind of
she alienated
put into
herself.
Relief. Yeah, and she put into relief how nasty some of them were being.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can see how that wouldn't go over well, but I'm just here to say I don't think it's fair and I really like her.
Okay, great. I like her too. I thought she had a good first night showing. She's just also clearly different than a lot of these women. And I think like the other women, it seems like they found a lot of really nice friendships in Peter's season two, perhaps. And I feel like Katie isn't really in the group like we've been saying, but like, that's okay. She can do her own thing. Some women don't find comfort in big groups of women, and that's totally fine. I think that she seems like she has a pretty clear like sense of herself. And I feel like also maybe that for Matt's in the Matt environment, like didn't go over great for whatever reason. But I don't know. A lot of the women were pretty strong headed, it seemed, in a good way. But whatever. Matt's season's over. Let's focus on Katie's season. And I just feel like Katie, it was a good first episode. I don't know. I felt really beaten down by the last season of The Bachelor. It was such a bleak, bleak affair. And I did note that they like clearly wanted to have a clean slate, clean break going into this. And I like this group of guys. I was like, okay, I can work with this. I thought it was a charming bunch. So many props and so many gimmicks. It was like, That made me a little bit nervous. Like, oh, they know these guys are boring, so they all have to like come armed with some kind of prop on night one. But
whatever. It seems like Katie's kind of into that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. She seemed really into it. Like, I feel like the more there was like something like silly or like ridiculous, she was really into it. I mean, the only one, we'll talk about this, but the only one that she wasn't into was the RV, really.
Yeah, that guy was the surgical skin salesman.
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know that you can be someone who sells skin.
Yes,
and
Jeff.
Bring someone into a dirty RV and pull it off. I don't think that's setting yourself up for success. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Did you think he really did live in it, like she was saying?
Yeah. Why else would you do that?
I don't know. But first of all, one of the guys in the house was like, oh, the Breaking Bad RV, and they are in New Mexico. So I was wondering if there was like some like elaborate Breaking Bad joke going on. I don't know. It just seems so far-fetched that he actually drove his RV and brought it there. I was just like, can this be real? But on the other hand, why would you want your shtick to be, look at my dirty RV, here's some crudité for you? I don't know. It was so confusing.
And then she pointed out that he was like noshing on celery and it was very strange. He also called her darling on the way out after she didn't give him a rose, which just, I got such like serial killer energy from that guy. I'm sorry.
Big time. Totally. Okay. We're going to come back to the guys. We're going to talk about the best props. We're going to talk about who we think are the front runners, the instigators, other notables. But first, Chris Harrison out, Tayshia and Caitlin in. What'd you think?
Mostly, I thought that it kind of went off without a hitch. I'm always happy to see Tayshia. I don't know if it's just tough to be on screen with Tayshia. So I commend Katie and everyone. Like later on in the episode where she was wearing that like black one shoulder dress and had her heels back on, I was just like, this is unfair. I never want to be in a photograph with this woman ever in my entire life.
I know.
But thrilled to see Tayshia. I thought they did a good job. I thought they were kind of, I thought there was a lot of them peering through the window, but other than that, it was pretty seamless.
Usually what happens is like when Chris would host at the mansion, I've been a couple of times for night one. And so usually what happens is like, there's tons of people standing off to the side. Like the one I remember the most clearly is when I went to Ben Higgins's night one. And like so many people wanted to meet Ben that they kept like in between limos, like people would just go up to him, be like, hey, I'm so-and-so. And like, I like got to meet him then as well. So there's usually a lot of action on night one. It seems like Katie's all alone, but like then when she's talking to the camera, it's actually because there's so many people around her. Like it's a huge production. So usually what happens is, you know, Chris comes on and off for his scenes, talks to the lead. They redo things a few times, but usually he is, and people are just watching off to the side. And so, and you can go to the control room to try to hear a little bit better. So I actually think that was like, probably more or less what they were would have done anyway, but they probably put them at the window because it was like a clear shot and like it was like they were more removed from the actual
right. And setting. They got to do the sort of voyeuristic thing of like, oh, she's really, oh, she just looked back at him. Oh, he's cute. Oh, she's really responding to him or whatever. But then it was just sort of silly because we spent, I don't know, 10 collective minutes on Caitlin and Tayshia just like with their hands on their foreheads being super spies together. But I was happy to see both of them.
They seemed like a good time. And I thought it was just most notable that he wasn't there really at the very end, just because it was really funny hearing someone else say the lines of, Ben, say your goodbyes. Or, you know, this is the final rose tonight. And they said it so seriously, like they were really trying to land it. It was funny, but, you know, new era. I was into it. Also, I thought they both looked great. Loved their black dresses. And I'm loving Caitlin going back to the dark hair. She looks great.
Yep. Totally.
I was into it. There was a bit of news today that came out. I think it was in Matt Bologna's newsletter. And he he's a reporter for the Hollywood Reporter. And in his newsletter over email, of course, not actual newsletter, he reported that things are kind of getting contentious in the breakup between Chris Harrison in the show. And he said, but behind the scenes, Harrison was questioning the legal theory behind his sidelining. As the talks became increasingly nasty, Harrison came with the ammo of his own, namely 2 decades of dirty laundry on the show, including, I'm told, some potentially damaging information about franchise creator Mike Flace. Whether that dirt ends up in a publicly filed lawsuit will depend on whether Harrison will accept the final rose or a settlement agreement with an NDA or whatever. So it's not going great behind the scenes.
Oh, whatever. Buckle good up.
Good luck, everyone. I mean, there's so much bad shit about Mike Fleiss out there already. I'm not sure if you remember, but 2 years ago, his wife was like,
yeah,
press charges for, I think, assault. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know, Nora, but let's move on. Shall we talk about these guys?
Let's do it.
Who's your favorite? Just let's start there. Start from a place of positivity, a place of yes.
All right. So I'm not going to lie. I don't have a serious crush on anyone yet. I think this was a helpful night one for me in some respects where I will be forced to adjust to Katie's tastes being very different from mine right off the bat.
Mm.
I think in some ways with Tayshia, there was this thing where at first I was just like, oh, she's so great. Like she totally gets it, totally in sync with like what I would want. And of course, you're always sort of overlaying your own preferences and desires onto the,
of course,
the leads.
That's but, obviously why I prefer The Bachelorette to The Bachelor.
Right. And then you get further on and further on and they start making different choices. And it's like, what are you kidding me? Like justice for Ivan.
Also, for the most part, as you get deeper and deeper, everyone becomes less appealing, the lead and the contestants. You're just like, oh, God. Because you're just like, God, seeing
why
them
did
all,
you do that?
Yeah. Yep. Seeing them all do all this shit. And you're just like, God, that's why you don't date someone who goes on reality TV. But yes, anyway, carry on.
The guy, he did not get a lot of screen time. And it didn't seem necessarily like Katie super responded to him, was the guy who did like the hug with the breathing.
Yes, Gabriel.
Gabriel. I was very into Gabriel.
Here's what I wrote in my notes. Gabriel, very handsome, weird hug guy, kind of into it. That's what I wrote.
Okay, literally, Juliet, exactly my entrance journey with Gabriel. Because I actually think, and this is what I was thinking when you were like, which one of the weird sex props or innuendos or puns resonated the most with me? The answer is none of them. They all made me uncomfortable. But one thing that I do think is like a really hot thing to do is sync your breathing with someone.
Yes.
That's like, if you...
Very intimate.
And like forced right off the bat intimacy as a way of establishing a connection with someone in that space. I think that's a really good move. I really liked that he did that. And I don't think there's no way you're going to do that where the hug itself is not going to be a little bit weird. Right off the bat.
But
it's like, the 38 questions thing where you have to end by staring into each other's eyes for 4 minutes. Like, it was a modern love essay where there's this, like, some scientist came up with 38 questions. I think it's 38, where if you ask them to a partner and then stare into each other's eyes without breaking eye contact for 4 minutes, you're supposed to fall in love. And the essayist did it and, like, married the guy. And the essay is about
a modern day Jane Eyre reader. I married him.
Right. Exactly. But I did think about that with that hug where it's like you're just there's this instant connection, I think, when you do that with somebody. So that was the thing from an entrance where I was like, oh, that was very smooth. But it was not like making masturbation jokes about a paintbrush.
Gabriel doesn't seem long for this world. I don't think she was vibed with it that much either. Also, like, he seems like the kind of person who probably wants to like go with you to France and just take in all the art. And that's. And which sounds great, of course. I'm really into that. Great. But I don't know if that's Katie's vibe. I just want to read you the bullet points from his bio. Gabriel doesn't understand the concept of athleisure and believes that, quote, people should respect elegant styles of the past. Gabriel loves to play tennis. Sean Connery is Gabriel's favorite James Bond. So he's kind of like Daniel Day-Lewis in The Phantom Thread. Like, I feel like that's like his spiritual antecedent. So I don't know if he has a home on The Bachelor or Bachelor in Paradise for that matter. But I'm glad that we're on the same page about Gabriel. We're into the hug.
Yeah, I had the same reaction where I was like, oh, I don't think she's vibing with this, but I am.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll get a little bit of time.
Also, he's older. He's 35. And most of these guys are like in their mid-20s.
Right. I think Thomas, the real estate guy from California, has very strong villain vibes. He's very handsome. He just seems so confident.
Yeah.
That I'm sure something will go wrong there.
Thomas and Aaron, those were the two instigators on my list. Aaron was, I think, like the first one out, maybe. He was the insurance agent from San Diego. And he was first or second, I'm pretty sure. And he just seems really like full of himself and really into himself. So he was second out. He was a very insurance salesman to me. That's what I wrote down. He said that people told him he has a nice smile. And it's like, let her judge for yourself. Perhaps just smile.
Yeah. Well, right. And he kind of tried to slip it in like he wasn't drawing attention to it. And then somehow that seems a little bit more like you're trying to do it. Was he the one who got in the weird fight that didn't get explained?
Yes, he did. That's correct.
What went on there?
I don't know.
It made no sense to me.
I have no idea. I have no clue what they were fighting about. And it also just seemed like embarrassing, whatever it was. It was probably so insignificant that they didn't even want to explain it.
Just have the vibe of tension, I guess.
I think you need to have like some kind of fight. Like there wasn't a lot of tension in this premiere. Like there wasn't like a lot of obvious problem people. I mean, like we picked them as instigators, but just because like they're talking a lot, not because they seem...
Right.
That. I don't know. What do you think of Box Guy? His name, I think, was James.
Yeah, James the Box Guy who looks like C-list Bradley Cooper is what I wrote down.
She was really into the box. I'm just like, what's wrong with you? Why are you into the box?
I was just grateful by the end of it. I was fully expecting another pun to do with the box. And it never happened. And for that, I was grateful. He seemed fine. I mean... It just seemed like she really, really, really responded well to the ridiculous entrance choices.
Yeah.
Like, cat guy.
Cat guy. I couldn't remember.
Cat Guy really worked for her.
I had to work really hard to figure out who Cat Guy was. It was Connor B, the guy who is also in the bath with his like guitar or ukulele at the very beginning.
Yes.
The math teacher from Nashville. I'm very confused by Connor B. Like, here are all the data points we have about him. He's a math teacher from Nashville, but he actually wants to like be like a country music singer. He did the weird bath thing and he dressed up as a cat and kept the makeup on and got all over Katie's face. Like, those are...
Which I think is a trick more people on this show should try. If I were a contestant, all I would do at every opportunity is just put stuff on my face, try to make out with the lead and piss everybody else off. I don't understand why it doesn't happen more often. And it did seem like she got it off her face before she went back in. But what better way to establish yourself as like we were playing some tonsil hockey in there than just to do that. I don't understand why it doesn't happen more. Anyway, well, I cut you off.
Probably would have been clear from his face that it was like smudged a little
smudged.
Bit. Yeah. But great. I noticed that too. I was wondering about the continuity. I was wondering how long it took to touch up her makeup. Were they just, because I couldn't really see a clear difference before and after. So I was very curious about that. I'm glad you brought it up. But she was really into Cat Guy. This brings us to Greg. I thought Cat Guy was going to get the first impression rose. Greg got the first impression rose.
As did I. Yep.
But when I saw Greg's package, not a pun, his hometown, like, you know, showing his family in New Jersey.
I'm so upset.
In the context, you have to clarify here. We're talking about this bizarre, it wasn't even like sexually charged because it was so juvenile, like all of these puns that I didn't even find it that sexual. But it was like just a lot of sex talk, which,
yeah.
I don't think that's even like what sex positivity is, as far as I understand it. But look, that's another point. Anyway, Greg, when I saw Greg's family, I was just like, oh, this guy's winning. And I just was like, I just have a vibe. He's like so normal. He's so much less interesting than all the other guys who got to have these introductions. Like, yeah. You know, only like 6 of 30 get to have like an intro. And I was like, there's literally nothing special about him. I don't know why they would shout him out if he's not going far. And then he got the first impression rose. So maybe that's why they shouted him out. But I was just like, I think this guy wins. Like, he just seems so plain. And for some reason, among all of these like ridiculous entrances and these kind of, and a lot of really handsome guys, I was just like, I feel like this like plain dude is going to win. I don't know. It's just the feeling I had.
Yeah, no, I think there's real logic to that, because when she gave him the first impression rose at first and she was having that conversation with him about, you know, I hope this gives you some validation. I hope this gives you like a good sort of feeling that we're off to a good start here and some confidence to be yourself. My first reaction was, oh, crap, is Katie going to be the type of lead that is too much of a people pleaser? Mm. Is she doing this because she thinks he's uncomfortable and she doesn't like that and she wants to kind of support him? Because I thought that she had better vibes with Cat Guy.
Totally.
I know is named Connor B, but like I'm never going to call him that. I'm sorry. He's Cat Guy. Especially because I wish they could make these ridiculous entrances and then change.
I know.
Like, I just didn't need to see the pause for an ensuing hour and a half.
Also seemed hot.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but it's hard to seem hot in a fuzzy cat suit.
No, no, I mean like temperature wise, it would have been hot to be wearing that.
He's cute though, but it's just hard to like be a Casanova when you're in a cat suit surrounded by men in nice suits.
But she was really into it. It was so confusing.
It's just unbelievable. But then when I thought about, so that was my first reaction to the first impression rose, was like, is this not a pity rose, but is this sort of like an encouragement rose? But then I thought about it some more and it was like, okay, my first reaction to Greg was, oh, a marketing bro from who lives in New York City. Like, how's Murray Hill? It must be great. and then when I thought about it some more, it was like, this dude has been on camera a lot.
Yeah.
And he has not said anything.
Yeah.
And that's got to mean something.
Totally. Rachel was the same way. Rachel Kirkconnell on that season. So he's definitely going far. And then there was a lot of him in the teaser. I looked into Greg because my spidey senses went off. I've got some bad news. Greg took acting classes a few years ago.
Oh no.
That's one of the reddest flags there is. I'm really sorry. But he also like posted a picture like outside the window of it. And Greg just went down a few notches for me. I'm really sorry, Greg, but I can't let that go. I'm worried he's an improv guy as well, which is like even worse than taking acting classes, like an improv guy.
So is this reaction that he goes down a few pegs in your estimation based on taking acting classes because there's a fear that he's doing this for publicity, or is it just that men taking acting classes have questionable motives in general?
It's that I think he like loves attention and like wants to be an actor in an unrealistic way. And it just makes me question his viability as marriage material for Katie. Also,
I don't think any man with those bangs isn't hungry for attention.
Also, he played D2 basketball in college at St. Michael's on a losing team, mostly. And I just feel like, I don't know. Here's the other thing. Greg has really strong New Jersey vibes. He is from New Jersey. He lives in New York. And Katie's like super Pacific Northwest. And like, you know, I think you can overcome regional differences, but I just don't see that working long term. The PNW and Edison, New Jersey, that's a no to me. I'm sorry. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't know. He also just didn't seem like fun. He's not a silly goose. You know, yeah. Katie's a silly goose.
Maybe you can't have two silly people in a relationship, though. Maybe one has to be more serious and an aspiring actor. I just feel like, here's the thing with the acting classes. It's like not a lark. It's not like, oh, I'm going to hit an open mic, or like, oh, I'm going to like just do some improv and see how it goes.
Right.
It's like, I'm really committed to like seeing if I can become an actor through these acting classes. I don't know. It's like a character from Barry being your Bachelor contestant.
Oh my gosh.
Yikes. Do you want that? I hope Greg doesn't.
I don't.
Listen.
I don't know if Katie does, though.
I'm sorry, Greg. You seem nice. His family seems nice. Oh, one other warning flag about Greg. He posted yesterday on his Instagram. It was his birthday, so happy birthday. He hadn't posted before that since September 2020. And, you know, putting out some new content right on the eve of being on TV. It's another cause for concern. Just wanted to shout it out.
Wow, Greg.
I'm really tough
fame.
On Greg. This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before. And it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over 2 decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Let's move on to some people we did like. Can we talk about Andrew S.?
Yes. Yes, yes. Who is the football player from Vienna.
Football player from Vienna. He's from Chicago, lives in Vienna. Main thing we know about Andrew S., loved Bridgerton. He didn't explicitly state Bridgerton, but he came with a British accent, and he was doing the "I burn for you," and that's from Bridgerton. And yep. I like it. He watches Netflix. I think that's what you'd expect from a American living abroad, like who plays sports. And he seems fun. He seems like a cool dude.
He seems super fun. Adorable smile. I found him very just sort of like infectiously charming. Agreed. I thought the fake accent trick was very cute. I also think that loving Bridgerton, that's kind of a good way to maybe imply some baseline sex positivity without going over the top with it. Like, you know, show appeals to women for a reason. I think there's maybe an implication that he's sensitive and understands a woman's needs. So good for Andrew S.
Sure. He certainly understands that women find the Duke, Simon Bassett, very attractive. So he was trying to emulate him. So great stuff. Andrew S. is all over the teaser and he was all over this episode. He was like the narrator. So he seems like he'd be great in Paradise. He also seems like he's going far because there was so much of him in the teaser.
Yeah.
But I also think he seems like a wonderful bachelor, like just wonderful.
Yeah. I think it's hard for me to think of a person who would, like, we know very little about him, right? But it's hard for me to think of a person who would get that first impression of Andrew S. and be turned off by it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not saying that he's going to be every single person's, you know, number one right off the bat, but he just was very charming. He seemed funny. He didn't seem like he took himself too seriously. He's lived in a different country. He has good taste in television, looks good in a turtleneck, which, you know, a lot of men in bachelor history rocking the turtleneck. So there you go. A lot going on for Andrew S. Look, being a football player in Austria, an NFL career does not make. However, there was Brendan, the guy who quit hockey before college and then used hockey in, I don't know, every appearance that he was on screen with. Like, he was the one who was teaching her how to shoot outside the hotel and just made it part of his whole origin story. And then he's like, yeah, I stopped playing before college because I didn't really like it. Like, come on, man.
I know. There's so much more to Andrew S. than just being a football player. Like, that was bare. That's like, I actually didn't even really remember that except for the fact that it was, you know, in Austria, which is not common. What is the American football scene like in Vienna, in Austria? Do you know?
So that's actually not, it's not like it is here. And that's not to say the least. And that's not the most competitive international league, but Austria and Germany. Like, Germany is the place where, so the NFL has a little bit of a footprint in the UK and then in Mexico. If they ever added a third where they started doing games, it would be Germany.
Oh, okay, cool. So Andrew S., he's like, you know, fourth tier football player. I'll take it. Just does a British accent. Fine. I thought Katie's British accent was really bad. Like,
it was very not good.
It was really bad. But you want to know what? She didn't care. She was just having fun. That's the thing about accents. I don't like to do accents because I don't have the confidence to be like to try. Like, I'm like, I sound stupid. Katie doesn't care. And do you think that will make her a good bachelorette? Because she just does stuff because she wants to. She's not like particularly self-conscious.
She's down.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think we're going to be getting a lot of Andrew S. Like a lot. Also, Andrew S., like you said, he participated in sex positivity without having to make a sexual pun, which brings us next to Justin, the muralist, the artist, excuse me, who was talking about stroking it out and then had the paintbrush. What did you think about Justin? He also had like an intro package like Greg and Andrew S. So he's notable.
I guess I'm this show's resident prude. I just wasn't here for it. I was sitting there like clutching my pearls, listening to him say over and over that he was stroking it out. And I just didn't need it. I didn't need to hear it. Justin, you've never met this woman. Like, stop.
Also, you know what's hot? A really good athlete who paints. Like, nothing else necessary. Nothing else necessary. Like, he's probably objectively, I think, the most handsome. We saw him dunking, and it turns out that he paints. I was just like, fuck yes, Justin, great to meet you. And then he has to do, like, this ridiculous, not even puns. I don't even know what to call it. And I was just like, this is sort of like, I felt a lot of these guys, Justin included, were very much like dating app come to life, where you're just like, you didn't need to do that. There's plenty of other good stuff here.
Yeah.
Keep it more normal.
Choose a different prompt, yeah. as the TikToks like to say.
Do they say that? I don't understand TikTok.
Yeah, it's because it's like what the bit will be is a guy taking a prompt that's like mountains or the beach. Mm. And then the answer will be like, I like both of them, or right. not much for either. And it's like, well, why don't you choose something where you could maybe reveal yeah. something about yourself? Like many options. You
Justin. Don't have to just... It's just like Justin has a lot to offer, I think. I don't know. Maybe I'm just biased because he's very handsome. And again, I mentioned he dunks and he paints. Like, I don't really know what else you could want from a bachelorette contestant. Right. So I was dismayed that he was engaging in this rhetoric. But that's okay. I still have high hopes for him.
That's the problem with this is because, like, I processed those details to a degree, but never got to the mental third step of being like, oh, those are super attractive qualities. I just was totally distracted by the entrance. But maybe it wasn't Katie good. Feels differently.
It wasn't good. But there was also a lot of him in the teaser. So I'm like, okay, paying attention
and
to you.
And they must have, I will give be a little bit more generous with them, is that their producers must have in some way kind of goaded them into doing this. Because so many guys made these puns.
I think they must have been nervous that it was going to be bad or weird without Chris Harrison. And so they particularly on night one, because that's when he's really the most involved. And so I bet they kind of were overcompensating with so many gags, because we haven't even talked about the blow up doll. Someone brought a fucking blow up doll. Oh my God. It's like, is this Lars and the Real Girl? I didn't even like that movie. It was depressing. I mean, that was Cody, by the way, who got the final rose of the evening, I guess.
Well, and also, Cody is a zipper salesman.
I know.
Like, that couldn't have been your sex pun?
Seriously. Also, can we find out more about that? We need to know more. We must.
What's the zipper market like these days?
Seriously. Also, Kyle. I want to talk about Kyle. He's the one who, like, ripped off his briefs. Like, I'll keep it brief. Ripped off his briefs. So, when Amelia and I were going over the bios, we called Kyle Hot Kyle. So, he will be Hot Kyle for me the rest of the season. I really wanted a lot more because he's also objectively very handsome. But that was like just so lame, and he didn't speak a lot. So I don't have a lot of high hopes for Hot Kyle. Also, I want to note Paradise is filming right now. And so people who are Instagramming aren't there. And I'm pretty sure Hot Kyle's not there. And he's so hot that there's no way if he had gone further, he wouldn't have ended up in Paradise. So he must leave next week.
Right. Right. Although maybe all of life is just paradise for Hot Kyle.
Probably is. He lives in Fort Lauderdale. So on this note, just a quick detour. Bennett, of course, from Tayshia's season, has also been Instagramming. And as, like I said, Paradise is shooting right now. I cannot believe that Bennett was not a first ballot Paradise pick. So I'm just like, did he pay someone to keep posting to his Instagram? Like, did he hand over his account? I'm so confused by this. I can't wait to find out what's what, because Bennett not being in Paradise is honestly shocking. It's more shocking than like anything else that's happened in Bachelor Nation over the last year. And it's been a crazy year.
That's unbelievable. That's,
I know,
that's,
right? I'm
flabbergasted.
Simply unbelievable. And he was like, I think he was like at Harvard over the weekend. He was near you, Nora. He was in the Commonwealth.
What? Bennett? I don't know. Bennett's, I still have a lot of affection for Bennett.
I do too.
But he's a little cringy on Instagram.
Oh,
like, he seems
awful.
Like a robot.
It's awful. It's also just like, I don't know. It's the same level of Greg who took acting lessons. Just like this thirst is very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
It's like, Bennett, be better. You know, you purported to be better. So
come on,
please.
Man.
Also, I hope we get to see his Nantucket Chateau. I feel like he mentioned that. So please gram about that when you get around to it, man.
Yeah, come on, Bennett. Let's go.
Let's move on. Should we talk about RV guy more? Nah, we covered him. He was really creepy. We also have another athlete virgin, the baseball player. I have to say, I'm so uninterested in this, especially on the heels of this whole Colton situation where it's just like, let's just let that go. And also, of course, they put a virgin on Katie's season, but to make it someone who seems very emotional about it and also apparently is very religious, it's just like uncomfortable. And I really hope it does not take up a lot of airtime. I'm just like,
yeah,
so not,
although
not into this.
Are you confident in that? Because I felt very much like, oh,
no,
great. This is going to be a whole big storyline. And it's just like, yeah, it just seems like, because they must build chemistry in some way if it becomes a storyline. But I just felt like, okay, Mike P, the virgin, humbled by baseball.
I know.
Like, this is the person for Katie? I don't.
Absolutely not.
No way. Like, come on.
No, he's just like a gym. He's gym owner, baseball playing virgin. Just like, she's not going to be into that. That's not her style. She likes the cat guy. Yeah.
She likes the cat guy. Right. It's not just about sex. Like, he has that.
He doesn't have the goofiness and like right. the sort of like silliness she clearly is into.
He's not a silly goose. My roommate and I say this about men a lot, is like, you can either be a silly goose or you're not. And some people really need a silly goose.
Mike is definitely not. Let's talk about Michael. Michael is the father who
right.
joked about giving her the family heirloom. I actually thought that was funny. I liked that.
I thought that was funny, but I found him very cringy.
Yeah. He just seems like an uncool dad. And like, there's, you know, like, that's like a lovable type of person. Like, there's many uncool dads out there that I'm sure are wonderful, but like, for a Bachelor contestant, that's a pass for me.
Yeah, I agree, because they always come off with this like strong air of desperation.
Yeah.
And then it makes me feel weird for their kids and their family. And it's just like, and I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he's a wonderful father, or I, more accurately, I have no idea, but don't go on the show.
I know.
Like, just don't.
I know.
Just go somewhere else. Go be with your kids.
I was interested in the fact that he said his kids were with his parents and not with their mother. So I was curious about if he's divorced, if he's a widower. I was just curious. Hope we find out. Probably will.
Yeah.
I don't know. The one guy she said she was into, it wasn't just like seeing it, like with Greg and Cat Guy. It was John the bartender from San Diego. She specifically said that he's her type. So we didn't get a lot of John the bartender from San Diego, but I did note that. I was like, oh, okay. So he's catching your eye. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and he is cute. He's good looking. He looks kind of like, I kept mixing him up with Andrew, I think. Not Andrew S., the other Andrew.
Andrew M., the deputy district attorney from Newport Beach, California. Yeah, John, he seems cool, I guess. I don't know. He didn't really speak, but she did seem really into him. But it's kind of funny because he had no gimmick. He got no other screen time. But she went for it. I mean, I guess she's going to go for it with him, I suppose. I don't know. I feel like this is like actually like a pretty good group. I feel like they did a good job specifically casting for her. Which I think, I think coming out of Matt's season was very necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, like, for just sure. Being
more attuned to like the matches, I guess. Although, who knows? But you never know how long these guys are in the hopper for. Here's who went home. Brandon, who has the craziest hair I've ever seen on this show.
Like Fallout Boy haircut.
He didn't even get to speak. No words spoken by Brandon. He's in and he's out. Oh my God. RV guy, who I believe was named Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah.
I call him Skin Boy.
Skin Boy.
You call him RV guy.
And Marty, who, you know, he didn't get to do anything, but apparently he's a dancer from Reno. That reminds me.
He was 25.
Yeah.
He's 25. What I have written down for in the category of gone is Skin Boy in parens called her darling on the way out. It frightened me. Fallout Boy haircut dude. And then the 25-year-olds.
Yeah.
Which I will say, if I have to say one like yay for Katie thing from night one, she eliminated the 25-year-olds.
There's a couple left. There's a few left. Just saying.
Which ones are?
Austin's 25. We also have Josh at 25. Landon, who I did not care for. For some reason, Landon just rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know why, but I just wasn't into him.
Okay, but she got rid of two of them.
Yes, she did. I wanted more from Marcus. He had the best outfit. He was from Portland. He also didn't speak that much, but I really liked what he was wearing. It was like actually like a cool suit. I think it was burgundy, if I recall correctly. I just wanted a little bit more from him. I don't know.
Who? Oh, David had the pants that were about a foot too short.
Oh my God. Yes. That was appalling. That was very upsetting. I liked David until that. And I was just like, oh no, 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 no.
It's just like they pan down and all of a sudden something has gone truly horribly wrong.
And terrible.
Like an overly aggressive cuff is something that happens on this television program with some regularity.
Sure.
This was the worst I've ever seen.
This was capris. Like this is like straight up European style suit.
Or like wool pants in the dryer.
Yeah, really, like, really rough. It was really bad. Also, he introduced himself as a New Yorker, but his Chiron said he lived in Nashville. Just very tough. They did that to Greg, too. It's just like people who are going to claim a city just make it match up for them. You know, I just feel like you're putting them at a disadvantage otherwise. Otherwise, it just looks bad. Although I guess Greg said I live in New York. He didn't say I'm from New York. So there's a bit of a difference there. Right. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good season in general. I will say I can't help but just think about like who's going to be in paradise. When I watch particularly The Bachelorette, knowing it's coming so soon, it's such at the forefront of my mind of like who will we see again? But truth and time will tell all. Before we wrap, I want to talk about some other Bachelor Nation news. Are you aware that Piper and Brendan are dating?
Yes, I did see that. I'm going to be honest. I didn't really look into it, but
nothing to look into. That's what I'm here for.
That's like
an incredibly attractive couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like two beautiful people.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for Brendan. I just feel like he needed a girlfriend and I'm happy it's Piper. I don't know. I just feel like he needed one.
I know what you're talking about. There's a slim subset of guys where you'd be like, he kind of needs a girlfriend and mean it in a good way.
Yeah, I mean it in a good way.
He's in there. Yeah.
He seems like a girlfriend guy. Well, he was married, so we know that about him. I just feel like that's a great couple. I didn't see that coming, but I'm really into it.
That's always encouraging, right? Is when it kind of comes out of the blue, because then you just feel like, okay, you two must actually kind of, there must be something there.
And I still feel like of everyone who was on Tayshia's season, I most wanted happiness for Brendan. So I hope he's finding it.
As do I. And Piper.
Yeah, she seems great too. I think she moved to New York. Well, so many of these gals moved to New York. And I think that Key was coming down to hang out in the Bachelor crew in New York City. So I don't know.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. I think it's a great summer match. I hope it lasts beyond September.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, I think there's like been a good sort of New York contingent of contestants and former contestants recently.
Absolutely.
And that's nice. It's so like LA centric.
I know. It's the city of the moment. It moves around every few months. It's definitely the city of the moment. I think Nashville seems to be coming on strong with this cast, but we'll see how it goes. Katie's Pacific Northwest energy, I'm really excited to see how that plays out. I feel like in general, it's good for this show. Like when Dez and Chris were on it and Catherine, who's with Sean Lowe, like those are Pacific Northwest people. I feel like they're really well suited for reality TV for whatever reason. Even Peter, who like was a disaster, but like has that like Seattle energy. I just, for some reason, it just works in this franchise. So I feel positive about it. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great season. Nora, thank you so much for joining me. I'll be back on Thursday. I'm going to be joined on Thursdays this season by Callie Curry, who's been on this podcast before. I'll be talking Batch, doing the B-side, maybe some other shows. I'm currently, I'm just fucking obsessed with Below Deck Sailing Yacht. Talk about a horny show. It's so good. Nora, you got to watch it. It's fucking great. So I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit. And yeah, we're back, baby. Bachelor season. Let's go.
It's very exciting. Very, very exciting.
Thank you so much to Kaya McMullen for producing this episode. You can catch more of Nora on the Ringer NFL show. I'm also on Ringer Dish if you're interested in celebrities. And if not, talk to you on Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.